Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, happy Sunday evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Would love to spend a few minutes with you here tonight with some reflections and looking ahead to the weeks to come, some big pro-life activities going on throughout our country. But today is the Feast of the Holy Family. We reflected with you this morning. Those of you who joined me at 9 o'clock this morning, we did a extensive reflection on the Holy Family and the connections with pro-life. Why don't we pray together now for all families, and then I'll give you some thoughts for this evening. Let's say the Lord's Prayer that He may bestow blessings and protection upon every family, especially those that struggle with difficulties, with division in relationships, with tensions, maybe with health challenges or financial difficulties. And I'm sure that so many watching with us now are in one or another of those categories. Let's lift everyone's intentions up on this Feast of the Holy Family and pray that the Lord Jesus Himself may bless and protect them, and Joseph and Mary may intercede. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And that Mary may look down upon all families, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, we do pray for your families, and we want to know specifically how we can pray for you. And I'm talking about all of us on our Priests for Life team, priests and lay leaders included. And therefore, we've set up a special website, prayerintentions.org. Send us your intentions. Go there. Let us know how we can pray for your family. Put as many specific intentions as you want. Go back there as often as you need to. And let us know. And we will pray for those intentions, not only family intentions, but any other intentions that you have. Prayerintentions.org. Very simple to remember. Well, first of all, I was going through some of my papers today in my office and came across a couple of things that I thought you might enjoy hearing, especially those of you that support our work at Priests for Life. And listen to this particular note from a woman by the name of Marie. So many Catholics argue with me concerning abortion. She says, sometimes I feel like I'm batting my head against a stone wall. Needless to say, your book, Abolishing Abortion, has given me a way of fighting them. Well, that's great. That's why we wrote books like that. I've written that plus three other books. And Abolishing Abortion in particular lays out strategy for the church and the state. And I'm glad it was helpful. As this person expresses, so many others have expressed as well, the fact that they come away from this book empowered to talk about the issue and to do so. And you know, the more confident we are when we talk about it, the more calm we are when someone is disagreeing with us. So Abolishing Abortion is the book. Abolishingabortion.com is the website where you can get it. And then this is a letter from a priest at whose parish I spoke. And he said, on behalf of the diocese and the faithful of our parish, I wish to thank you for your visit and the inspirational words that you shared with your listeners. I was personally moved and challenged to be more intentional about how I communicate the pro-life message in my teaching and preaching. And that is great to hear from a priest, isn't it? Because that's why so many people support us at Priests for Life, because they want to see priests saying things like that. I was motivated to preach and teach more intentionally on pro-life. Well, that is why we were founded, and that is what is happening as a result of the work. And as we come to the end of this year, tomorrow, of course, is New Year's Eve, I want to also urge you, brothers and sisters, to make a good end of the year donation to our work. Maybe you've never donated to Priests for Life before, but prolifedonation.org is our donation website, prolifedonation.org. What a great way to end the year, to support the kind of work that brings about the kind of comments that I just read for you. Well, it's also a work that is very much involved in the events surrounding the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which is January the 22nd. That's the day in 1973 that child killing was legalized throughout the United States, the children still in the womb. And by this Roe v. Wade and its companion decision, Doe v. Bolton, this child killing was allowed throughout all 9 months of pregnancy and is indeed going on at an incredible rate, incredible numbers throughout the nation, some million children a year being killed by this procedure. And so on or around January 22nd, people around the country gather for special commemorations, prayer services, rallies, marches, protests, and similar events, the largest one of which is the March for Life, the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C., which got started the year after Roe v. Wade was handed down. So it was handed down in 73. The first March for Life happened in 74. We knew very well the woman who was in charge of it from the beginning, Nellie Gray, and she and the people working with her thought that they would have to just do this once and people would wake up about this. And now here we are 46 years after Roe versus Wade, still doing it. And yet, the amazing thing is the perseverance, the energy, the numbers of people who continue to come. It's very, very clear that this is a movement that arises just out of the depths of our humanity. It's not that any one person is calling the movement together. It arises from the depths of our humanity. Nothing more basic than protecting children, protecting life, ending the killing. And so we have this March for Life coming up. Now, this year it's on Friday, the 18th of January. So it's really only, it's less than 3 weeks away. I'll be going down to Washington, D.C. in 2 weeks because all during those days prior to the march, we have various meetings. I help to organize the quarterly meetings of pro-life leaders. The national leaders get together and we strategize and we update one another. We have those kinds of meetings at the beginning of the week. And then as the week progresses, there are various different events that are organized. Prior to the march, many groups do many things, including us at Priests for Life. We bring people together for different kinds of training. We organize a protest at Planned Parenthood. Let me tell you some of these specific events, because you may be going to Washington, and I want you to know what we're going to be doing and where we will be, and hopefully we can connect. If you're not going to Washington, you'll be able to follow these events right here on this Facebook page and pray with us and listen to the teachings and participate, even though you're not there physically. But on the Thursday, the 17th of January, in the morning, we will have a protest at the Washington, D.C. Planned Parenthood. Now, for the exact times and the locations and a little bit of the agenda, let me give you a webpage that you can look at for all this information. It's priestsforlife.org/marchforlife. Simple as that. priestsforlife.org/marchforlife. That's where you'll be able to see where and when you can meet me and hear me and pray with me and our team as well at Priests for Life. So Thursday morning, the 17th, protest for several hours in front of the Planned Parenthood. We'll have prayers and songs and preaching and teaching. Many different pro-life leaders will participate. Then in the afternoon, the March for Life Youth Rally takes place, and our own Youth Outreach Director, Brian Kemper, is privileged to be the MC and one of the speakers for that youth rally, which attracts thousands of young people who are coming into Washington for this event and really inspires them to do even more for their youngest brothers and sisters, the children in the womb. Then that night, there'll be various prayer events that we'll be taking part in. And I hope to be going over If I'm not in other meetings, we may have some meetings with some government officials, but if I'm not there, I'll be over to greet as many of you as possible at the Basilica Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And I like to walk around prior to that Mass and greet as many of you as I can, offer you a blessing and some words of encouragement, hear from you how you're doing and what's going on in your neck of the woods when it comes to pro-life. The next morning, the day of the march itself, Friday, January 18th, and again, you can find all this schedule details at priestsforlife.org/marchforlife. Friday morning, the 18th, the day of the march itself, I coordinate, organize, and preach at the interdenominational prayer service, which we hold in Constitution Hall. Now, this is not far from where the rally is for the March for Life itself. And I will be joined by Father Mitch Pacwa of EWTN. He's coming to Washington specifically for this event to be with me at this prayer service. He's going to offer a Mass at 7:30 in the morning at Constitution Hall. And then at 8:30, the interdenominational service will begin. The 18th, by the way, is the beginning of the annual Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. So what a great way to start it off. Very educational for everyone who comes, very helpful for our young people to start to appreciate Christian unity. And that's, of course, a key facet of the pro-life movement, that it brings together people from all different denominations, because despite any differences between the denominations, we all agree that Jesus is Lord, and if he is Lord, then he is alone is Lord over human life, nobody else is. And this unites us in striving to protect these babies. So it's a good experience of Christian unity. There's no doubt that the pro-life movement is the best practical expression and implementation of Christian unity in our day, as people come together and work for the most basic and fundamental human right that there is, life itself. So again, this interdenominational prayer service, it's at Constitution Hall. You don't need any tickets or anything. There's plenty of room. It's very, very large. Large groups can come. Your buses can come. Individuals can come. Father Mitch Pacwa not only is saying the 7:30 Mass, but we're going to honor him during the interdenominational service with a special pro-life award. So I know that many of you watch him on EWTN, and he would be delighted to see you there at this prayer service. And you can be there to congratulate him for this pro-life recognition award, because he has done so much through his broadcasting on EWTN and through his own production work to bring attention to the plight of the unborn, to call people to action in defense of the unborn. And then when the service is over, there'll be a chance to greet him personally, take a photo with him, and he'll be very, very eager to meet you for that purpose as well. So nationalprayerservice.com, by the way, is the special website just about that prayer service, nationalprayerservice.com. Come to Constitution Hall. If you go to that website, you'll see some clips of this prayer service in past years, and you'll get a sense of the energy, the dynamism that goes with it, the inspiration that comes from it. Nationalprayerservice.com. Then after the prayer service, we go immediately to the rally site. Oh, Alveda King will be there at the prayer service too. We'll also be honoring Sandra Merritt. Sandra was deeply involved in doing the undercover investigating of Planned Parenthood. It wasn't only David Dalyden. Sandra Merritt was working side by side with him on that, and she'll tell her story. You'll get a chance to meet her too, and we'll also give her a pro-life award. And Alveda King from our Priest for Life team will be there as well. She'll give an exhortation. You'll be able to meet all these people at the conclusion of the prayer service. Again, that's at Constitution Hall on the morning of the March for Life. It's from 8:30 to 10:30. Even if you you can sign up at nationalprayerservice.com to let us know you're coming, but even if you haven't made plans yet to come, there's still plenty of time, plenty of room, and it's an inspiring event every year. Now, after that, we go to the rally itself for the March for Life. Alveda and I will be heading there together, because Alveda then will be saying the final prayer at the rally. The rally happens first for about an hour with the March for Life coordinating that. And then we march. And then we march up towards the Capitol, towards the Supreme Court. And then at the point at which the march reaches the Supreme Court, there we coordinate yet another event. We coordinate the Silent No More gathering. Now, Silent No More is a project of Priests for Life and Anglicans for Life. We've been doing it since 2003. And this is where moms and dads who have had their children aborted speak up about it, tell about their experience. They do it in a very brief 3 or 4 minute time slot, but we have many people who give their testimonies one after another, and they not only tell about how and why they had an abortion, but what the experience was like, how they felt afterwards, how they felt long term, how it devastated them and their relationships and their health and their self-esteem and their sense of God. You'll hear all these different after effects of abortion, but then you will hear the beautiful stories of how they found hope and healing, reconciliation and peace, how Jesus Christ, our Savior, intervened in their lives. They will sing His praises. They will proclaim His gospel. This is a great example of the new evangelization. They will be there to say, I aborted my child. In some cases, you'll hear them say, I aborted many children. I had multiple abortions. And you will hear them say, but God looked down at me when I was crouched on the ground, curled up in a ball in a dark corner, unable to even lift my eyes to heaven. I felt a presence. I saw a light. I sensed a person there who was taking my hand and telling me, stand up, get up, look up, because you have a Savior. You are not to remain bound in your sin and your shame. Stand up. Be free of this sin, be free of this guilt, be free of this shame, and begin to live your life again in peace. These are the people in whose lives, in whose struggles, in whose resurrection from despair, we see the hand of God moving so powerfully today. And when people hear these testimonies, not only will those who might be tempted to abort understand that it is no solution whatsoever. Not only those who have aborted their children will realize that there is a path to peace and healing, but also those who are alienated from God and the church by countless other sins will be able to say, if this person found healing and reconciliation from having their child killed, maybe there's hope for me. And maybe I can take the hand of the very same Savior and find the very same reconciliation and peace. You know, that's why we do these Silent No More gatherings, to prevent abortion, to bring hope and healing to those who've had abortions, but also to bring countless other people to peace with God after countless other kinds of sins. So take a few minutes and listen to those testimonies. Again, it's when the march goes up the Constitution Avenue and then makes that right-hand turn, goes past the Supreme Court. Don't go past it. Stop there for a moment. Go close to the court, right on the in front of the steps there. You'll see our signs, the women holding the signs, I regret my abortion. The men will be there with signs, I regret lost fatherhood. There will even be siblings of aborted children, grandparents of aborted children. These people also give their testimonies at these gatherings. Take at least a few minutes with your group, bring everybody there and listen to the testimonies, because we need to match the courage of these people who are coming forward to share these experiences with our own courage to spread the word of those testimonies. Christianity has come down through the centuries through the power of testimony. That's how people come to faith, come to the gospel, come to the church. They hear how God intervened in the life of someone else and they say, I want that too. That's what these people are doing. That's what we're doing. So this is one of the events Priests for Life organizes, along with Anglicans for Life, this Silent No More campaign. The co-founders are Janet Morana, our executive director, and Georgette Forney, president of Anglicans for Life. And it's a wonderful experience. I serve as the pastoral director. I'll be giving some prayers and some words both at the beginning and the end of this gathering right there in front of the Supreme Court. And it's significant that we do it in front of the Supreme Court, of course, because that's where this devastating decision was handed down that has led to over 60 million children being violently killed. And it must stop, and we must give witness before the court. You know, the court has even recognized the voices of women who regret their abortions. In, for example, the Gonzalez v. Carhart abortion decision in 2007 that upheld the ban on partial birth abortion, it was written into that decision that some women regret their choice and that this is undeniable. And this, of course, has happened in front of the court for many years now. And those voices are getting louder and clearer. To be there to support these men and women is such a beautiful way to conclude that March for Life. You know, Alveda King herself is a member of the Silent No More campaign. She had two abortions, and she has spoken at these very gatherings as well. So these are some of the things that are happening the week of the March for Life. Go to priestforlife.org/marchforlife, and you'll see the schedule, the details. I'll be looking for you. I'll be eager to greet you, to meet you, to bless you, to hear how you're doing, take some photos together with you, with your groups. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to it. It's only a couple of weeks away. I'll be in here these next 2 weeks here in my office. I'll be doing a lot of broadcasting like this, chatting with you. So make sure you're signed up for the notifications and share the videos. I have a lot to say. But we are going to have a great joy in seeing each other there in Washington, D.C. It's always the highlight of the year, really, in this movement. And we get renewed strength and encouragement to go on with our activities in the rest of the year. Now, I want to also tell you that shortly after, I told you that during the week of the March for Life, I'll be organizing a leaders meeting in Washington. And then a couple of weeks after the March for Life, I want you to know about the fact that right here in our headquarters in Florida, we're going to have national leaders come as well for a summit meeting, for a strategy meeting of several days in length. And this is something I want to commend to your prayers, because it's very important that the leaders of the groups come together like this. We put our heads together and map out as much collaboration as we can, craft as many strategies as we can that we can all agree on. You know, there are many different pro-life activities. Not a day that goes by that I don't get literally dozens of requests to support some or another activity or initiative in the pro-life movement. I don't know if you realize, I mean, those of you that are active in the pro-life movement know that there's a lot going on, but believe me, you don't know a fraction of it. The immense overflow of activity, which is great. Again, it's a sign of what I said before. It's the very same reason that the March for Life is so big, that this is a movement that just flows from our basic humanity. We have to protect our children. And this leads people to think, what can I do? What can I do to save more babies from abortion? And that gives rise to many different activities, many different tactics and strategies, many different projects and programs, many different ideas and proposals, many different commitments and so forth. And then leaders like myself are approached and we are told, oh, we're doing this, or we have this idea or that idea. And we want to encourage everyone in being creative and coming up with ways of protecting children and advancing the message and of doing what they believe God has called them to do. But not a day goes by that I don't get dozens of requests to endorse, to promote, to get behind, to support in some way or another a particular pro-life project. And I really try to give as much support as possible to all these different things. But of course, other leaders are being approached with the same thing as well. And so what we try to do, and of course we come up with ideas and strategies of our own. So bringing the leaders together into one room and having us share our expertise with one another, share our insights and ideas, learn from one another, and propose things by which we can move forward together in this movement is a very, very essential activity. And God has given us the opportunity and the role to play to be a source of unity among the leaders, and I know my colleagues in the movement appreciate that, and I appreciate them coming together for these opportunities. So it's important that you know we support all the efforts that are going on in this great movement. That doesn't mean that every group can devote the same kind of energy and attention and resources to every idea that comes along. Obviously, leaders disagree, and they can disagree about the effectiveness or the wisdom or the strategic importance of a particular thing at a particular time. Let me give an example. In Ohio, the heartbeat bill was passed over, vetoed by the governor, and then the override of the veto almost succeeded, missed it by one vote. Now, within the pro-life movement, people have different ideas about the heartbeat bill. I've been asked to support it. I actually have voiced support for it. But there are some legislators and some leaders that are saying I should voice more support for it. Well, the goal is certainly something that I agree with. I would think every pro-life person would agree with it. I've never heard a pro-life person not agree with it, that these babies should be protected, not only from the time that the heartbeat can be detected, but from the very beginning of their lives, even sooner than that, at conception. But this bill deals with protecting them from the time that the heartbeat can be discerned. Well, people are going to come to different conclusions, because some will say we're not quite ready for that yet. And as a matter of fact, I say, listen, if a particular lawmaker wants to introduce the bill, introduce it. But see how much support you have in your legislative body, because obviously to pass a bill, you have to have the votes to pass it. Some people will say, well, this law would save more lives than these other laws. Well, on the condition that it becomes a law. That's the point. You have to see how much support you have in the legislative body to pass it. But certainly none of the leaders I know are opposed to it. Now, some groups have been criticized for not, quote, unquote, supporting it. But you have to be careful how the word support is understood. You know, what do you mean? Do you agree with the goal, or do you agree with the way of getting to the goal, or do you agree with the way of getting to the goal today rather than tomorrow or sometime when you have more support for it? I mean, what do you mean by support? Support can be a rather nebulous term. And I know groups that have not made it a priority. They have not invested effort behind the heartbeat bill. Why? Because they're investing effort behind bills like the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which does have a lot more legislative support, which has been passed not only on the state level but on the federal level, and by the House of Representatives anyway, and has a lot of momentum and support in public opinion, more so than the heartbeat bill. But these are all different stages of the process. Can people who are equally committed to the cause of life disagree about the timing and what should take priority over what? Again, not only do we in leadership get dozens of ideas every day of people asking us for support, but there are dozens of legislative ideas as well. And a legislative body only has so much time and resources to go through the process of drafting and debating and voting and amending a particular bill. So you do have to be strategic about to what will we give priority. And again, people of equal commitment, and this is important for us to understand, of equal commitment to the goal of protecting these babies and ending abortion, can and will disagree about what specific activities they should support. So nobody should be judgmental or dismissive or say, oh, this person is less pro-life or this person is not in the cause. That's ridiculous. We are united in our purpose and in our goal. When you get down into the details, that's where people who are equally committed to the cause can and do and will disagree. I'll be bringing these leaders together. We'll be coming together right here in this building. And I ask you to pray for the national leaders in the pro-life movement, that we will be able to undertake this process. I'm sending these leaders various memos. We're circulating ideas before we get into the room. We've done this before, by the way. We've had these strategy meetings here. We've had them elsewhere over the years. As I've said, the Lord has given us an opportunity to play this role within the movement. And I'm really looking forward to the one in February because it, unlike many of the others, it's not just going to be one day. We're going to be together for 3 days. And I want to ask you to pray for that, and I'll certainly be updating you about it more as we get closer. I'm very excited about that too. So I'm excited about seeing you in Washington. Now, I'll also be at the Walk for Life West Coast the following week, and we'll be doing a... I'll be speaking on Friday night, the 25th, for the Anglicans for Life conference. I'll be speaking on the morning, I think it's Friday, the morning, or our friend Walter Hoy in Oakland will be doing a rally, and I'll be speaking there. And then, of course, on Saturday, the 26th, the Walk for Life West Coast in San Francisco, I'll be greeting you. First of all, we're going to do a protest at Planned Parenthood early in the morning. And again, priestforlife.org/marchforlife. You'll see the schedule also for the Walk for Life. We'll be at Planned Parenthood in the morning. Then I go over to the cathedral, San Francisco Cathedral. Many of you have met me on the steps of the cathedral before the morning mass. I'll be there again. I want to greet as many of you as possible, get some good photos. Again, give you a blessing, hear from you how you're doing. That'll be Saturday, the 26th of January. And then we will have the Silent No More gathering there as well. Unlike in Washington, in San Francisco, it happens before the walk itself. So we'll be there at the plaza where the rally is held, but we'll start at 10:45 with the Silent No More testimonies. I'll again will be speaking and then leading some prayers. And then we will walk. We will have the rally, and then we will walk. And then we'll greet as many of you as possible on that walk as well. It's like the Super Bowl of the pro-life movement this month, this coming month in January. So once again, we conclude the year. I'll be back with you tomorrow. And by the way, tomorrow night, I want to invite you to a special time of prayer. I love to welcome the new year and with the countdown and everything. So, and you may be going to different New Year's parties or maybe prayer services. But I'd like you to, if you're at all able, join me at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time for just for 10 or 15 minutes of prayer. And then again at 12:30 a.m. on January 1st, 2019, I want to pray with you during that first hour of the new year. So at 12:30, again, just for about 15 minutes, but I'll be doing that right here on this Facebook page. So join me if you can, invite others to do so. A lot of great things coming up, aren't there? And if we have blessed you during the course of this year in our ministry at Priests for Life, I want to ask you to bless us too. And if you can give an end of year donation at prolifedonation.org, that would be very appreciated. We'll have an even more powerful 2019 with all the different projects we're going to do. So let me give you a blessing and say good night. May the Lord fill you with his grace, his protection, and make you ever stronger defenders of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Thanks for spending some time with me this evening, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.